Our first reading today ends with St. Peter encouraging those listening to repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away. Now, I know I've talked about conversion quite a bit before, about this returning, this turning back to Christ. That conversion is not a one-time deal, something you only do once in your life, but that it is a lifelong process. Well, conversion is the theme which runs through today's readings. We see it in St. Peter's evangelization. We hear it in the encouragement in the letter from St. John. And then, of course, the words of our Lord call us to conversion in the gospel. Well, I'd argue that there are two forms of conversion we need to worry about. The first is our personal conversion, our conversion of ourselves and our lives. And then our communal conversion, the conversion of our communities that we belong to. Well, first of all, this personal conversion. I think we're most familiar with this concept of an individual conversion, of converting, of change of ourselves. But I think we're also the most willing to rationalize the need for that conversion away. And I think part of that is because we view conversion as a one-time act. We talk about a conversion moment, a point in which we underwent some radical change in our lives. We talk about converts to the faith, that those who convert are those who enter into the faith. And these are true meanings of the word conversion. But conversion is an ongoing process in our lives. Conversion is allowing the love of God to be truly perfected in us, to paraphrase St. John. Conversion is the repentance of sins through the sacrament of confession. And conversion is the keeping of the commandments of Christ. We do all this, we enter into this conversion, because we all desire to enter into the glorification of eternal life, as modeled by our Lord in the gospel today, that we will have that glorified body and enter into that eternal life which our Lord promises us. We also have the desire to know Christ, to know our Lord on a deep, personal level. So we really, truly should desire to enter into this personal conversion so we can fulfill those desires. But at the same time, we should also enter into the second form of conversion, communal conversion. And this is conversion at all levels of community that we're involved in. Of course, in our parish, but also in our town, in our county, in our neighborhood. We should seek conversion in our neighborhood and then in the community organizations that we're involved in. Any level of community that we are involved in, we should seek conversion. We should desire on a communal level that all be brought to Christ. As our Lord says in the gospel, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. That is what communal conversion is, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is preached to all the nations. Another word for this, of course, is evangelization, especially as modeled by St. Peter. We see St. Peter engaging in this evangelization to bring about this communal conversion. This really kind of struck me again the other day as I was talking with a good friend of mine over the internet. Father Tim is a priest over in Wisconsin, and we lived on the same hall at the seminary. Father Tim is involved in Hispanic ministry in the northwestern part of Wisconsin, closer to the Twin Cities. And he's really building this ministry from the ground up, because there wasn't really a ministry to those Hispanics who had recently emigrated, within their lifetime at least, had immigrated into the United States, really weren't being a part of the parish life that was there already. So he is going through and working with Hispanics who are involved to build this ministry, doing door-to-door evangelization, person-to-person, reaching out person-to-person, really evangelizing, really building, being missionary, doing missionary work in this area, to the Hispanics who really haven't been served by the church in that area. And he contrasted this, and I agree with his comparison, to the maintenance mode that so many of our parishes are involved in, the parishes that have been established within the past, 100 years or however long they've been around, that they're really kind of in the maintenance of keeping the status quo, keeping things as they are. We expect people to come to us. We don't go out to them. We don't reach out to them. We're here. They should come to us. We're just worried about keeping the parishes going, keeping the lights on and keeping the water flowing and so on. Things that we need to do to keep these parishes going. And we contrast, we really looked at this, and the ministry that my friend is doing is a lot more like the Catholic presence of 100 or more years ago in our diocese, both his and mine, where it was very much a missionary work. An example which came to me is Father Pierre de Smet of the Jesuits was a missionary to much of Montana. And he spent much of his life in very difficult environments, whether it be traveling between the mission fields that he was involved in, or in the living accommodations, or the work that he did was very difficult, very hardy, very rugged ministries. But he proclaimed the gospel in much of Montana, and he brought many to Christ. This is the type of ministry we should be doing. This is the type of evangelization, the type of conversion that we should have, because we can't always assume the church presence will always be there. In my diocese here in eastern Montana, the average age of the priests and the dwindling number of priests that we have is something which is very concerning, very worrying to myself and to other priests as well, as well as to the bishop. In the same way, the average ages of the congregations and the numbers, the population of these congregations should be just as concerning to us. And in some ways it is, because it shows to us by the fact that these populations are becoming so old that we are not bringing the gospel of Christ to young people, that those young adults are not hearing the gospel of Christ from the Catholic Church. And this isn't just non-Catholics, this is Catholics as well. We're not doing a good job of passing on the Catholic faith to the children and grandchildren in our communities. This should be our concern. Our worry should not be about maintaining the status quo in our parishes, but bringing people into the parishes. Our concern is to bring people to Christ through both communal conversion and individual constant personal conversion. If we do both of these acts of conversion, we will no longer worry about the future of the church.